I'd like now to welcome Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. He's speaking to us today from Washington, D.C. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Mary Charlotte, thank you very much. It's great to be on with you today.
So we're here to talk about the approximately $800 billion stimulus package that's gone through Congress. About two-thirds of the bill is going into programs, and one-third is going into tax cuts. Who's getting this tax cuts? I mean, I think probably many of your constituents are wary of tax cuts for the rich. How do the tax cuts work in this bill?
Well, there was a really different approach that the Congress took, and that President Obama had made a commitment to provide tax breaks and tax incentives, not only to small businesses, but to those that were being impacted the most by this recession and by these tough economic times. 95% of American workers will actually receive a tax credit, tax cut. About 684,000 workers in New Mexico are estimated to be eligible to receive this tax credit as well. And so you'll see that many, many people in New Mexico will be able to receive this tax credit, but it was targeted towards low and moderate income households. It was actually the strongest tax credit targeted towards low and moderate income households in the history of the country.
Is it specifically income tax, or is it also things like if you put solar panels on, do you get tax breaks for that? Is it related to actual things, programs?
There's different aspects and mechanisms, vehicles that will provide tax incentives and tax credits to citizens across New Mexico and across America. The ones that I described earlier are some that will go directly to people. Those that are going to be making improvements to their homes with weatherization, they could also be able to go out. They'll qualify not only residents but businesses to go after competitive grants. So we can see some installation of some rooftop PV, extension of the production tax credit. So we'll see more individuals that are investors that will be looking to move forward with making strong investments in developing renewable energy generation as an example. And so you can see that, you know, when we talk about renewable energy generation and opportunities for support with programs with weatherization, with renewable energy development, for tax credits for those that are working today and that need help the most, those that have been displaced by the recession as well, we'll see some immediate support. You know, one area that those that may have been laid off, who are able to hold on to their benefits, who are struggling today because of the cost of COBRA to be able to hold on to it, we'll see some support and relief for that program through December of 2009 as well.
So how it's one thing for individuals and income tax breaks and weatherization and so on. How specifically will the stimulus bill provide incentives for utilities to, say, build solar and wind power generators instead of coal-fired plants?
Well, you know, there's a piece of legislation that we will be working on. It was introduced over the last few weeks. Congressman Ed Markey on the House side and our very own Senator Tom Udall on the Senate side reintroduced a piece of legislation to establish a national renewable electricity standard. And so with the recovery reinvestment package, which provides many incentives to encourage more renewable generation, the development of a smart grid and transmission so we can move the power, will be complemented by a piece of legislation that will require a national renewable electricity standard similar to the renewable portfolio standard in the state of New Mexico, which requires
right.
utilities to generate power with a certain percentage of their portfolio from renewable resources. And so you can see how the both will overlap and will encourage more renewable energy generation as we move forward towards utilizing this new technology, but just being smarter about the way that we're generating our power and less dependent on foreign sources of energy.
So that the incentives aren't specifically in the stimulus bill itself. It's in this other new piece of legislation you're talking about.
No, the RES legislation would enact and create a national standard to require utilities to have a certain percentage of their portfolio come from renewable energy generation. There are specific programs within the recovery and reinvestment package for renewable energy generation that are built directly into the American Recovery and Reinvestment Package.
We're talking to Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. So what are the major programs that are getting the money? How much of it is for infrastructure like roads and bridges, and what is the rest going to?
Well, a large portion of this, almost I believe two-thirds of this, will be for infrastructure in different areas. There's actually going to be a big portion that goes towards roads, bridges, broadband access in unserved or underserved areas, the deployment and the construction of more transition, especially with smart grid applications, so we can move power. There is a portion of this that goes directly to the states. A large vehicle of this actually goes to the state stabilization fund, and states across the country will be required to verify and adopt projects, which will be submitted to the president for consideration for build-out. And so you can see that this this program, the American Reinvestment and Recovery Plan, which was signed into law by President Obama this last week, is actually also the largest investment at any one time in infrastructure since the 1950s.
So where is the money coming from? I mean, are we printing money that doesn't exist? Are we borrowing it from China? Where is it coming from?
Well, you know, I can tell you that with the tough economic times that we're facing as a nation, you know, I don't have to share with the listeners the tough times that we've inherited, that President Obama has to deal with now, that the 111th Congress will work on as a result of 8 failed years of economic policies that have gotten us here today. And the president put together an economic summit that was actually talking about the goals of what we must do as a nation to be able to repay and pay down the deficit, to be able to account for the debt that the nation has incurred. And he will be announcing his plan with how we will unroll and look at the rest of his domestic package, how he's going to deal and work with the Congress with Afghanistan and Iraq, and how we as a nation will work, and as a Congress, will work together to be able to be responsible with how we spend money. And so it's a plan that was needed based on testimony and information that was provided to us from economists, many spectrums, even you know, to my conservative colleagues who didn't support this measure, from a former advisor to Senator John McCain, who's told us that if we didn't take any action as a nation, that we would continue to see over 500,000 jobs lost month after month. We've seen today 3.6 million jobs lost since December of 2007, 600,000 jobs lost in the month of January alone. And those were the kind of numbers that we would continue to see. So we as a Congress and as a nation, we move forward and we adopted a piece of legislation, which I think we all agree that it wasn't a perfect piece of legislation, but it was something that needed to move forward. And now we'll see with the budget that the president will be discussing a little bit about this evening to the Congress and to the United States, to the American people, and frankly to the world, as to how we're going to change the way that we do business, how we're going to do what we must to get our country back on track and turn this economy around.
So that is very important, and we're looking forward to that. Meanwhile, where does the money actually come from in the short run before the hoped-for recovery occurs? In other words, are we borrowing this $800 billion?
Well, as a nation, we're able to borrow the money. We're able to utilize the various vehicles that exist to allow us as a nation to be able to move forward in times like these. Unfortunately, when President Bush came into office, he had inherited a surplus, and we now see the trillions of dollars in deficit that we are facing as a nation. And so we had to move forward to be able to put together a plan where we could get the money we needed to borrow it, to be able to move forward and infuse the economy to create the jobs that we needed and invest in America, invest in education, invest
right.
in the people that are working so hard today.
And so we're borrowing it. Who are we borrowing it from?
Well, many nations across the world have supported the United States in this area. And so we'll continue to see how the United States will work with those nations, nations that have recently purchased treasury bills at zero interest to be able to support the United States moving forward.
Hmm.
And so we'll make sure that as a nation that we're going to be working with other countries. I think that we all saw Secretary of State Clinton travel to Asia recently to visit with them about the tough economic conditions that exist not only here in the United States, but around the world, and how we must work together to be able to do our parts in each of our respective parts of the world to be able to turn the economy around.
So when we look at this stimulus package, how much of it is to be used in the short term for immediate effect, and then how much of it is more kind of long-range planning kind of spending?
Well, the support specifically to in the form of tax credits, the support to hardworking families across the country, 95% of the American people that receive this tax credit is an example of an immediate infusion that will go right into the economy. The support for those that are currently unemployed or that have been displaced as a result of the tough economic times that we're in, going back to December of 2007, will be an immediate impact and provide support. Economists have all provided testimony that that is a mechanism that will provide an immediate short-term relief. Those dollars that are being invested in education not only will create jobs and save jobs in the short term, but provide for a foundation of educational future for our kids to be able to provide them the tools they need to be part of this economy, to get them into college. The investments in a smart grid, the investments in broadband, the investments in our roads and bridges will also provide job opportunities in the short term, but provide a foundation for economic growth into the future, providing for incentives in the area of renewable energy generation and changing the way that we generate power as a nation is also going to be an investment to create short, mid-term, and long-term jobs, but also pave the way for a foundation in a new way that we as a nation will generate our power.
So is it all going to actually be spent this year in 2009?
No, what we'll see is that over the next 18 months, the Congressional Budget Office estimated that 75% of the funds would be put to use. These jobs that will be created, either saving or creating 3.5 million jobs over the term of the Recovery Reinvestment Plan, is one of the goals that we'll see as well.
So this money, let's say, goes to, you know, some chunk of it goes to the state of New Mexico. To whom does it go? I mean, besides the tax cuts and tax credits and so on, the money that is actually going to be used for programs, who gets it, and then who sort of oversees how it's going to be spent and make sure it's spent properly?
Well, there's several vehicles on how the dollars will make its way to the people of New Mexico and to the state of New Mexico. One is, as described earlier, with the various tax incentives that will go directly to taxpayers, to hardworking families, 95% of Americans, 684,000 workers in New Mexico are what the estimates are. People that are receiving SSI or disabled veterans will receive some support as well that will go directly to them. A large portion of this will go to the state stabilization fund. Governor Richardson recently called a special session where he'll be working with the New Mexico legislature to verify the projects which will be submitted to the president and to the Congress that will move forward as a result of the investment in the American people and in infrastructure. And actually, you know, every American will have an opportunity to work not only with the Congress, but to oversee the programs that the president is moving forward with this Recovery Reinvestment Plan via a website, recovery.gov, which will be used to track all projects. Congress will be holding hearings in the committees in their various areas of jurisdiction to be able to oversee these programs as well. And so I think you can see in the approach from the Obama administration that this is actually a paradigm shift in the way and the level of transparency that will be made available to the American public to be able to look and monitor how this piece of legislation is going to create jobs and be spent on projects.
We're talking to Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. So far, the bank bailout has resulted in things that a lot of people are upset about, like executive bonuses and the hoarding of money by banks. They didn't, you know, they're given this money from the taxpayers and they don't put it back into the economy. So the credit crisis hasn't been eased in the way that was intended, and people are nervous about that. Now we have the stimulus package. What if it doesn't work? What's the backup plan?
Well, you know, this we need to work to make sure that this is going to create jobs, that it's going to provide a foundation to be able to get us moving in the right direction economically as a nation. you know, moving forward in the area of losing 500,000 jobs a month is simply something that will continue to devastate the economy and move us to a depression. As the president has very clearly pointed out, this is the first step in a plan that he will continue to unveil. Last week, the president signed the Recovery Reinvestment Plan. He announced also on Thursday with Secretary of the Treasury, Geithner, with a plan to be able to protect those that are losing their homes, to protect those against citizens against foreclosure as well. That's a next piece of the plan that the president has talked about. We'll be then looking forward to see how pieces of legislation that will address health care, that will address the future of energy generation and how we move forward in that area, will also move forward to create jobs and opportunity and get the economy moving again in the right direction. So you can see how education, insurance, health care, all of these debates on each of these issues are going to be so important to moving us in an area where we can put together the pieces to get things moving. And so I would say that there's no silver bullet to this, that the plan is such that it's not necessarily a backup plan, but it's a plan that's all really interconnected, that there's so many important pieces that will be required to be acted on. You have a Congress now and a president who truly understands the importance of working for the American people. You know, during the first 4 weeks of Congress alone, the pieces of legislation that we passed that were signed into law by the president, providing additional coverage to children across the country with the adoption and passage of SCHIP, bringing recognition to the fact that pay discrimination existed in the workplace and that women were not paid the same as a man for the same job worked, bringing attention to that and passing legislation which addressed that issue, which we recognize that a woman should get paid the same as a man in the workplace. Right. Closing the gap with Lilly Ledbetter, the discrepancy and discrimination that she proved that took place, which she wasn't able to receive compensation for. Putting women and children first as part of this Congress with the legislation that was signed into law shows the commitment to work for the people that are struggling most today. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And, you know, we all have a role to play. Every one of us, every American, every person from our communities, we all have a role to play to make sure that we're doing what we can to be able to get the economy moving in the right direction, but also holding everyone accountable. So that way we're being wise with the money that's being spent.
I've been reading about the difference between a recession and a depression. The difference being that a recession is a natural business cycle and a depression is a fundamental ending of a way of running an economy, and it really requires a fundamentally new economic system to replace the old one, in the same way that, you know, the war economy was the new system that brought us out of the Great Depression. What are we in now? Is this a depression where we have to actually reinvent a new economy, or is it just a recession, a little business cycle kind of blip on the screen that we'll naturally come out of?
Well, the economists that have provided testimony to us, I think most of them agree that we are in a recession at this point. Will we have to reinvent the economy? Well, I think there's aspects of the economy that we'll have to reinvent. We need to make sure that we're moving forward with new ways of generating power. Renewable energy, green job creation is going to be a fundamental part of the plan, which will move us in a different direction, will make us less dependent on foreign sources of energy, foreign sources of fuel, so that we as a nation can be more dependent on our domestic energy generation, which will provide job opportunities, will provide opportunities for businesses to take advantage of the research that's taking place at our national laboratories for tech transfer. And so, you know, we can see how there's going to be an emphasis in the area of science and technology, which some would describe as having a drastic change in the way that we would move forward with strengthening our economy, looking at some of the failed economic approaches that got us here over the last 8 years. You know, we as a nation, we need to be smart enough to recognize that those rules that were bad that got us to where we were today and the priorities that got us here today, that we need new ideas. And so if looking at those new ideas by some is a feeling of a new transformation, then that's how, you know, it'll be described. I just know that we have to do something different than what's been done over the last 8 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you can't legislate away greed, but the culture of greed on Wall Street and of corporate America in general, where some people are still so very wealthy and other people are making money that they is so little money that they literally cannot afford to pay their bills, and they're making choices between rent and medicine and things like that. I mean, that to remedy that requires a new culture, a new way of looking at things, and also a tremendous downward movement of capital. How do you do that?
Well, downward movement and upward movement. It's gonna require a role from everyone. I could not agree more that there's been a culture that's been created that we really need to see how we can, you know, each and every one of us change the realm in which it exists. The president's going to have an important role in this as he continues to reach out to the people. You know, President Obama didn't wait 6 months to go out and visit with the American people. He didn't wait several months to hold his first press conference to be able to address the American people. And he's reaching out to them. And that's what I've been doing. I've been traveling back to the district and going into small communities, large communities, going to the grocery store and setting up a table to visit with consumers, those that may be walking by who would never have an opportunity or get a chance to visit with their member of Congress to hear what's happening in their communities. I think that we all have a role to play in this, and I'm going to continue to reach out as President Obama will continue to reach out and making sure that we're listening and truly working with our constituencies, with the people that have entrusted us to do the work of the district. And so that's how I'm going to continue to work in that area. But where, frankly, we all have a role to play. We do need to change the culture. We need to move back and really have this sense of community, of family, where we look out for one another and we do our part to make sure that we're supporting our communities and making them stronger.
Well, we hope to see you here in Santa Fe at the Santa Fe Baking Company one of these days. How do you like being in Washington?
It's really an incredible place. You know, we are in the district often. But I can tell you, you know, the feeling out here, the energy, is so exciting right now. You know, the buzz around Washington today, is really exciting. As a country, we faced tough times before, and we will get through this, and we're going to change the way that we generate power. We're going to change the way that we work together, and it's going to be an incredible time. And we just need to make sure that we work with each other to do that.
Ben Ray Lujan is congressman from the 3rd Congressional District of New Mexico, speaking to us today from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, and my very best to you, and thanks for letting us have a chance to visit with everyone. Mary Charlotte, keep up the great work, and we look forward to seeing you over at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
Excellent, and we hope to have you on the program another time.